All right, good morning, Worth Baptist Church. My name is George Crabb. I have my lovely wife down here to my left, Linda. We come from Lancaster Baptist Church, West Coast Baptist College, and we're just pleased to be with you this morning. I thank your pastor for allowing me the privilege to present the Word of God to you today, and I do appreciate the friendship of Brother Sides as well. It's wonderful as we travel the country and the world preaching the Word of God to come across other people that you can have a friendship with, knowing that they have the same passion to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. I do want to let you know that as maybe we greet each other at the end of the service, that I have a bad right hand. I just had right carpal tunnel release surgery just 3 days ago, so my right hand is a little tender and it's wrapped. So if we greet each other afterwards, we won't give each other the right hand of fellowship. We can give each other the left hand of fellowship. And by the way, for all of you left-handed people, I'm left-handed dominant. Amen. Any left-handers out there? Okay. So this is not my dominant side, but this is my dominant side. So I can greet you with a left hand of fellowship after the services this morning. If you have your Bibles, I'd like you to take them to 1 Peter, the 5th chapter. If you would, I want to look at a couple verses this morning as we talk about mental health and Christianity, mental health and Christianity. And before we get started, I want to let you know, any time that we deal with strongholds or mental health issues, as far as I come across, you're going to get a heavy dose of the Word of God. The Word of God is where the answer lies. Certainly, medical profession has its part, and medicine has its part, but fundamentally, we are spiritual beings, and we need a relationship vertically with God. And that comes through the Lord Jesus Christ and through His Word. And so this morning, as we talk about mental health and Christianity, I'm going to certainly talk about it. I mean, that's what I do. I practice medicine about 30 hours a week, and I'm in the ministry about another 20 hours a week at West Coast Baptist College and Lancaster Baptist Church. So I do quite a bit of medicine, quite a bit of ministry, and I kind of brought it all down into one message this morning in regards to mental health and Christianity. If you don't mind, if you have the ability and are willing, if you'd stand with me as we read a couple verses in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 10 and 11, and then we'll have a word of prayer and get into our message. It says in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 10, "But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto His eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. To Him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen." Let's pray. Father, we come to You in the name of Jesus, asking that Your Spirit would meet with us this morning. Father, we come to hear Your Word proclaimed, and I pray that Your Spirit would work in every heart. Father, if there be someone here this morning that does not know Christ as their Savior, may today be the day they look to You for salvation. Father, for Your children that may be struggling and hurting in so many different ways, may they find comfort and care in the Word of God. So, Father, in all we do this morning, we want You to be glorified. We want Your kingdom to be advanced. So, Spirit of God, move amongst us this morning. Do a work that only You can do in Your children's lives. And we will thank You for all of this. In the name of Jesus, we pray and ask it. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you for joining me as we stood for the Word of God this morning. As Brother Side said earlier, today you hear about mental health in news and in articles almost on a daily basis. The latest statistics demonstrate that in a lifetime, 20 to 25% of the U.S. population will be actually diagnosed with a mental health issue. That does not include those that never go to the doctor for a mental health issue. There are many people that deal with depression, anxiety, post-traumatic stress and things of that nature that never do seek out mental health or mental help and therefore are never part of the statistics. But why is this prevalent in our world today? I believe it's always been prevalent, but we're becoming more aware of it. And the biggest foundational part is that we live in a fallen, broken world, surrounded by fallen, broken people, and we ourselves are fallen and broken. And that's a recipe for having issues. And that's what we want to talk about this morning. And these issues are impacting our community, and they're impacting our churches today. Because people from the community make up people in the church. And people are being affected, the community's being affected, and so is our church. And historically, I grew up in a pastor's home, had that privilege of growing up in a pastor's home. I thank God for that privilege. But historically, the church has been somewhat silent in regards to mental health. But the local church should be a hospital, a healthy place, a safe place for anybody to come and receive guidance and direction in their life. And so no matter if you have the label of depression, if you have the label of anxiety, if you have the label of OCD or ADD, or you have the label of post-traumatic stress, or you don't have a label of any of those disorders, but yet you're sad, you're anxious, you're stressed, you're having difficulty in your life, participating in life, getting things done in life, I pray that you'll find this message helpful for you this morning, because the local church should be a foundational part of helping those that are struggling out there. This is where we should say, if you're depressed, come to Worth Baptist. If you're anxious, come to Worth Baptist. If you're struggling in whatever category you want to put a label on, come to Worth Baptist. Still see your doctor, still take your medicine if necessary, but come to Worth Baptist where you can be fed from the Word of God and receive spiritual strength. A mental disorder, I know Brother Sides, I told him, I said, you just preached my whole sermon in his introduction to me a little bit. I said, I was just going to go sit down or fly back home. But another definition of mental health issue is when a person is experiencing troubling thoughts, emotions, or behaviors that are disruptive to their daily life. And you go to the world, and the world will treat you with what is called cognitive behavioral therapy, which is a type of counseling technique. And they will help you or try to help you with medication. But you see, medication can only affect the physical. And we need to look at our lives and other people in a holistic manner. We are embodied spirits. We are, as Brother Sides read, 1 Thessalonians 5:23, sanctify them wholly in their spirit, soul, and body. We have a material part of who we are. We have an immaterial part of who we are. And medicine can only affect the physical or the material, where the Word of God can affect the immaterial, that what we don't see. You can't put your finger on it, but it is real because it is who we actually are, embodied spirits. And even though medicine can help the body, God can help the spirit and the soul, which directly affects our body, and that's what we can do. There's a quote from Scientific American by a David Rossmarin that says this: healthcare professionals falsely disconnect common spiritual behaviors and experiences from science and clinical practice. As a result, we ignore potential spiritual solutions to our mental health crisis, even when poor well-being is worse than ever. You see, they're missing it. Medicine discounts the spiritual. They don't recognize the spiritual. And they don't realize that fundamentally that's who we are. that we are spirit, soul, and body, and that every aspect of our life affects every other aspect of our life. So for those that are out there that you may have been diagnosed by the DSM-5R that you have a mental health issue, okay, you've been diagnosed, you've been labeled. Those that have no diagnosis but are still struggling out there with issues in your life that you're dealing with, Jesus, I want you to know that Jesus sees you. He knows you, and he cares deeply about what you're going through. I can care about you, but Jesus cares so much more about you. Jesus sees you holistically, and he sees all of the struggle, all of the difficulty. He sees it, and he understands, and he wants to, and is faithfully committing his love and compassionate care towards you. So what do we do? I have a few things I want to share with you this morning. What do we do if we're struggling? If you've been diagnosed with a mental health issue, what do you do? If you're struggling here at Worth Baptist and sometimes you don't want to tell someone that you're feeling sad. Sometimes you don't want to tell somebody that you're feeling anxious. I'm going to tell you this, acknowledging it and getting help is healthy. I know your pastor and I know Brother Sides. They're not here to criticize and condemn you. That doesn't mean they condone your sin if you're in sin. They're here to help. And they want to do so compassionately. But the first thing I want to share with you, what we need to do to help people that have a mental health issue, those that are struggling with whatever it might be, is number one, engage God. Engage God. Romans 8, 16 and 17 says, the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. I want to let you know that mental disorder labels may describe your symptoms, but they do not define your identity, and they certainly do not dictate your destiny. They describe what you're feeling, but they do not define who you are, and they don't dictate your eternal destiny. You are not bipolar. You are not depression. You are not anxiety. You are not PTSD. You are not ADD. You are not OCD. If you're a child of God, you are a child of God. Join heir with Jesus Christ. Don't let a label define who you are if you're in the Lord Jesus Christ. Your diagnosis hasn't voided out any of the promises of God. They're still real to you no matter what label has been given to you. And it says in Romans 8, 38 and 39, for I am persuaded, no matter if you're bipolar, depressed, anxious, OCD, ADD, whatever it might be, for I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor things present nor things to come nor height nor depth nor any other creature or a diagnosis, if I can add that, shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. It still demonstrates in Romans 8, 1, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh but after the Spirit, no matter what you might be struggling with. Romans 8, 28 still stands for us, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. All those promises still stand for you. But I want you to know, those that are struggling, Worth Baptist is here for you. Your pastor's here, this pastor here, he's here for you. Brother Sides, he's here for you. And I want to let you know, more than that, Jesus is here for you. Our God is here for you. Jesus hears your cries. And he wants to draw near in your desperation and pain this morning. And Jesus will give you grace. He'll give you the power to persevere through the struggle that you're going through. The most perplexing problems cannot keep us trending upward and onward to glory. Engage with God because he cares. It says in 1 Peter 5:10 again, but the God of all grace, your current struggle doesn't stop the love of God. Rest in God's love. Bathe in God's love. Saturate your life in God's love and rest in his sovereignty. Oh, we talk about the big picture. I can't even take care of a little piece of the puzzle. God has the big picture all taken care of. He knows where every little intricate piece goes in that big puzzle. And I'd like to say this for all of you that might have a labeled diagnosis and all of you that are struggling. Grasping, getting your arms around the sovereignty of God gives us sanity. It just helps us understand. Now listen, as we struggle, because we live in a fallen, broken world, surrounded by fallen, broken people, and we ourselves are fallen and broken, progress takes time. Hurting is hard. Healing can even be harder. We may feel crushed by doubt and despair, but my friends, keep engaging with God. The burden to fix it fast, get rid of all the symptoms, can breed profound hopelessness in our hearts to those that have been diagnosed with a mental issue or those that are struggling without a diagnosis. But in our moments of desperation, God wants us to believe that he is the deliverer. Amen. He is the one that can deliver us. In our fear, God wants us to trust in him. So that we can do what the Bible says, God, so many times, fear not, be thou not afraid. In our weakness, believe that he is our strength. In our sadness, realize that one day he will set things right one day. If we've fallen into sin, my friends, God wants us to believe that repentance is both a merciful gift and a transforming grace. In our loneliness, he wants us to believe that he says he will never leave us nor forsake us in Hebrews 13:5. That should give us comfort. You think about it, my friends. God said he would never leave us nor forsake us. In your struggle, and you could be sad this morning. You could be empty in your soul this morning. You could be so anxious this morning. We may never know it. We may never see it. But you could be that way. And we may not come by and give you any comfort because we don't know. But our God does know. And he says he'll be with you. He says he'll never leave us nor forsake us. Who did God forsake? God forsook his own son. For us. Did not Jesus cry out on the cross, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Jesus was forsaken by God so that you and I would never have to be. Amen. Praise Jesus. He's with you, my friends, in the midst of your struggle. In every problem we face today, what we need to do is believe that God remains good, he remains wise, and he remains sovereign, and he wants to help us. But we must come to him, draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. No matter what you might be struggling with this morning. And I know in a crowd this size, without a raise of hands, I know there's some that are really struggling this morning. You're hurting. Jesus hears you. And there's a balm in Gilead that he can apply to your life that can miraculously help you this morning. So not only do we need to engage God, we need to exercise godly goal setting. While medical care may be beneficial, and I believe it is in certain circumstances, spiritual care through the ministry of God's word is essential. So even though medical care is beneficial, spiritual care is essential. We need to have the attitude that regardless of what I may be struggling with, I have to have the attitude that in my struggle, I'm going to glorify God. You see, there's no guarantee that your symptoms are going to resolve. And in fact, there's no guarantee that your symptoms may even lessen. But there is a guarantee that right now, as you sit there, as you might be struggling, right now, even amidst the struggle, you can glorify God. You can pursue God. You can engage with God, as I earlier said. It says in 1 Peter 5:11, to him be glory. Yes, I am all for treating symptoms. Absolutely. Symptoms need to be addressed. Treatment needs to be rendered. Proper medical care and follow-up needs to be done. But there is a peace that God can give a child of God. According to John 14:27, a peace that he gives that is not like the peace the world gives. A medicine can't give it. I can't write it out on a prescription. But if you go to the great physician, he can give you that prescription of peace that only comes from God Almighty through his indwelling Holy Spirit. Glorify God in the problematic moments that you find yourself in. I'm depressed, but I'm going to glorify God. I'm anxious, but I'm going to glorify God. I'm going to get help, but I'm going to glorify God. I'm going to glorify God. I have issues with OCD. I have issues with ADD. I have issues with addiction. I'm going to glorify God. I'm going to get the help that I need, but I'm going to glorify God during this whole process. We need to engage God on a moment-by-moment basis, and we need to exercise godly goal setting, and that goal is no matter what I may be struggling with going through, I am choosing to glorify God. You need to be able to make this statement. I want to glorify God with my life more than I want to breathe. I want to glorify God with my life more than I want my next breath. That's how desirous that we should be. Desire God, engage God, and glorify God. And then thirdly this morning, we need to experience God. There are no quick fixes. In fact, there may be no fix to your struggle. Certain conditions, you've heard these terms before, used by medical doctors. Well, it's treatable but not curable. Some things can be treated, but they're not going to be cured. You're going to suffer with it for a long time until the Lord brings us home. But thank God one day there will be healing. Total healing in the presence of God. Glorifying God as a goal is within your power to pursue right now. Find reasons just to glorify God. Praise God. Psalm 119, 164 says, seven times a day will I praise thee. I believe that seven times a day means make it habitual, that throughout the day I'm just in the habit of praising God. I praise God for the weather. Thankfully, we were able to hear thunder last night. I know you probably are sick of it, but in Southern California, we don't get any weather. And it was nice to be woken up to some thunder last night. I praise God. Praise God we're here this morning. Praise God for the air we breathe. You can't take your next breath without God saying okay. Your heart won't beat one more time without God saying okay. Praise God for your heartbeat. Praise God for the health that you do have, because others right now, as you know, don't enjoy that. It's in our power now to praise God. Constantly turn to God. ask him to give you the power and the grace to glorify him in spite of the struggle that you are having with whatever it might be. And experience God in all aspects of your life. Invite him into every part of your life. My friends, we need to be in the Bible every day. Acts 17:11 tells us, and they searched the scriptures daily. That word search means to scrutinize, means to study, means to dig in. We need to live in that Bible. We need to memorize that Bible as God allows us the ability. We need to meditate on that Bible. We need to pray, and at certain times we need to fast and pray. And we need some solitude for time of worship between just me and my God. And I like to say it this way. Every morning I get up very early and spend my time with God. And I have a moment where I just get lost in God. How awesome he is. How wonderful he is. And no matter what I might be struggling with, and I'm not minimizing what people are struggling with, I'm not minimizing it at all. It's real, it's raw, and the struggle hurts. But God is for us. In the mind of God, the perfect Christian is the progressing Christian. Learning to come and listen to God will bear life-changing fruit. That's why he tells us to abide in him. In John 15, verse 8, herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, so shall you be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. Oh, my friends, have a wonderful relationship with your Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Come to him with your sufferings and struggles. Pour out your heart to him. He wants to hear it. And he wants to help. And if we're walking in the Spirit, one of the best medicines that I can recommend for anyone struggling with a mental health issue, whether labeled or not labeled, is the fruit of the Spirit. If you're depressed, if you're anxious, dealing with a lot of stress, you have bipolar 1 or 2, OCD, PTSD, ADD, I could go through all the alphabet for you there with all the diagnoses that there are. All of that will be helped if you have love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance in your life. And we have those when we're walking in the Spirit. God has given us everything we need for living an increasingly godly, Godward life. Even in your worst day, God is accomplishing good work in you. He's molding you into Jesus Christ. Faith in our Heavenly Father enables us to hope and trust that he is able to work in our current circumstances to mature us and advance his kingdom. So in conclusion, what is God trying to accomplish in my life with a mental health issue, with a struggle that is emotional or mental in nature? It says in 1 Peter 5:10 that he wants to make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. That word perfect means he's maturing us. Through the suffering, through the struggle, we can be matured in our Christian walk. We can be established. That's moving you in the right direction. Strengthening you. He's empowering you. And settling you. He's grounding you in reality. Setbacks might happen, but progress is promised if we follow the Lord Jesus Christ. In the midst of our suffering, I'm just going to give you a few things here, maybe to jot down. In the midst of your suffering, whatever it might be, and my friends, again, I'm not minimizing what you're going through. It's real and it's raw and it hurts. And I am not minimizing medical care because it's needed, but medical care takes care of the physical, which needs to be cared for. So I'm all for that. But what I'm trying to say is foundationally, we're spiritual beings. And only God can restore a soul. Only God can renew a right spirit. I cannot give you a pill for that. Only God can do those things. And that's why even though medicine and medical care may be beneficial, spiritual care through the Word of God is essential to help individuals. So in the midst of our suffering, we should want God and His will more than our own comfort. We should want God and His will more than our own comfort. God, I want the depression to be gone, but if it's not, I'm going to glorify You. I want Your will to be done. Father, I want the anxiety, I want the stress to be gone, but if I have to bear this burden, I want Your will to be done. I want You to be glorified in my life. In the midst of our suffering, work on maintaining the spiritual disciplines rather than trusting our own flesh and our own feelings. What happens a lot in Christianity today, we're saved on our way to heaven. We know the Word of God, but we're following our feelings, not faith in the Word of God. Our feelings will betray us. Our feelings will lead us down the wrong road. For the heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. Who can know it? But if we follow faith in God's Word, it will never betray us. It will never lead us down the wrong road. So we need to live above our feelings in faith in God's Word. So work at maintaining the spiritual disciplines that I listed for you earlier, rather than trusting our flesh and our own feelings. And in the midst of the struggle, witness. I'm going to tell you this, there's not many doctors that are children of God. In fact, there's 19 of us in my office, and there's myself and one other that I'm aware of that professes Jesus Christ as their Savior. There's opportunity to witness. Don't become so selfish in wanting your own needs met that you don't realize that other people have needs that need to be met. And that you can be a source of blessing through your struggle. And share the gospel with the doctor, with the nurses, with the staff, and with others. Keep witnessing. My friends, keep worshiping God. No matter what we struggle with, God is worthy to be worshiped. That's how awesome and mighty our God is. And then never stop desiring your final transformation. God is, moment by moment, transforming you, according to Romans 8:29, into the image of His dear Son. And one day, the depression will be gone. One day the anxiety will be gone. One day all the stress will be gone. The OCD will be gone. The post-traumatic stress will be gone. The grieving will be gone. All the pain will be gone. I'll be out of a job. Because He's going to wipe away all tears. Take away all pain. Healing is in your future if you're a child of God. So keep engaging with God now. Exercise godly goals of glorifying Him and experience God every moment of your day. You say, you know what, Brother Crabb? I'm struggling. I have this or that. I've been labeled this way or that way. But I don't know Jesus as my Savior. My friends, Jesus wants to be your Savior. Jesus right now is pursuing you. He died for you. He shed His blood for you. He was buried for you. He rose again for you. He's ascended to the right hand of the Father for you. And He wants this morning right now to become your personal Savior. And all you have to do is invite Him in. By faith, receive Him. And that's the start of your healing process, which will culminate one day when we're with Him. Child of God, you're struggling, you're hurting. Look to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Engage with God. Have godly goals and experience God. God is for us. He's not against us. And if God be for us, who can be against us? Let's have a word of prayer. Father, I thank You for the opportunity to preach Your word this morning. Father, I know there are people that are struggling right now. They're Your children. And Father, You so deeply care for them. I pray that they would find solace, that they would find some rest, that they would cast their care upon You, for You careth for them. We pray for the one that may not know Jesus as their Savior this morning, that today they would accept You as their personal Savior and be gloriously saved. With your heads bowed and eyes closed across the auditorium, please, nobody looking around, but you say, Brother Crabb, I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that I'm a child of God. I've accepted Jesus Christ. He is my Savior. I am on my way to heaven. I know that. Just raise your hand quickly and let me see it all across the auditorium. Praise the Lord. You can put your hands down. You say, Brother Crabb, I was not honestly able to raise my hand with that first group, but I just don't know if Jesus is my Savior. Would you pray for me? And I will. I will not call you down. I will not embarrass you. I will not come and get you, but I will pray for you. You say, Brother Crabb, by my uplifted hand, I'm just asking you to pray that I get this settled. Is there anyone across the auditorium that would say, please pray for me? Please pray for me. I don't know if I'm a child of, I see that hand. Thank you, sir. I'm praying for you. Anyone else that would like to join and just say, I just don't know, I'm uncertain, but would you pray for me? Father, You've seen the hands. You've seen the one that raised his hand about being uncertain. I pray for him that Your Spirit right now would be working in his heart, and then in just a few minutes that He would reach out to us and allow us to share with Him through the Word of God how He can settle that issue this morning, today, and become a child of God. Father, for Your children, I pray that they would come to You this morning, that they would glorify You, and that they would seek Your comfort and Your care, no matter what the struggle, no matter if it has a name or doesn't have a name, if it has a label, doesn't have a label, it doesn't matter. You are able to help. This church is able to help. May people today respond and receive the help that they so desperately need through the Word of God today. We ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen.